Let's turn to John chapter 14. Peace in the midst of troubles. We've been walking with Yeshua through the book of John, one of the greatest books ever written, if not the greatest book. We're at the end of the life of the most important man who ever lived. That man is also the Messiah and the Son of God and the one and only Savior of humanity, able to rescue us from the real and deadly forces of Satan and the demons, sin and the sin nature, death and hell. It's Yeshua's last day on earth. It's a very special day, the first day of Passover. It's the day Messiah will die a very special death as God's Passover lamb who takes away the sin of the world. That makes this day one of the most important days in history. Yeshua will eat a final meal, a Passover Seder with his most important followers, the men he will entrust with his ongoing mission of world salvation. During the meal, he will give his disciples his final teachings. And in a sense, he is almost saving the best for last. He will pray. They will leave. He will be arrested, tried, tortured, crucified. The disciples were troubled. Yeshua had told them some very disturbing things, that one of them was a traitor, that he was about to leave them, that they could not follow him, that Peter would deny him not once, not twice, but three times before the morning was over. Now Yeshua helps them deal with the troubles he had just given them. He told them they could have peace in their hearts way down deep, even while experiencing troubles, that they would be able to endure their troubles with patience and grace. He told them to believe in him the same way they believed in God the Father, which means that by knowing who Yeshua is, how powerful he is, how much he loves us, how committed he is to us, by believing in him, by becoming loyal to him, we can have peace in the midst of our troubles. He gave them hope that he will prepare a place for them in heaven, having hope that there is a place for us in God's great heavenly house, should give us peace even when things are very difficult. He promised them that he will not abandon them, that he will return for them so that they can be reunited with him in the new Jerusalem in the kingdom of God. Believing that promise that he will not abandon them, he will return for them so they can be forever united with him, brings peace. He told them that they knew their destination and the way to their destination. And knowing our destination and the way to that great destination, knowing the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, brings peace even in the midst of trying times. He taught them that he is the perfect reflection of God. And to see him and know him and understand him is to see God, know God, understand God the Father. And knowing that Yeshua loves us and is committed to us and is full of grace and mercy and peace means that the Father loves us and is committed to us and is full of grace and mercy and peace, which should bring us shalom rav, great peace. He told them that his ministry of world redemption will continue, expand, and succeed through them. And knowing that they were part of something greater than themselves, they were part of something of the greatest significance, that they were part of a great mission of world salvation that would be amazingly successful, that brings us peace. He told them that he would rise from the dead, ascend to the Father's right hand, and there, as the Lord of heaven and earth, he would use his authority to answer their prayers that are prayed in his name, so that they would receive great help. Knowing that we have the all-powerful Lord of heaven and earth who loves us, who is committed to us, who is united to us, who is helping us fulfill the mission he entrusted to us, should bring us shalom rav, great peace. That was the first part of John 14. We begin this morning with the second part, starting with verse 15. When someone loves us, and we reciprocate that love, mutual help and support are exchanged in that loving relationship. Yeshua loved us and will help us by answering our prayers, but not so much if we are unloving toward him. It's important to love him the way he should be loved. How can we be sure we love him the way he should be loved? That our love for him is genuine? He told us, "If you love me, keep my commands." You know, it's relatively easy to claim to love someone for a man who wants a woman to say, "I love you." But real love, genuine love, is based on truth. Real love, genuine love, is based on doing what is right for the one we love. And real love, when it comes to our relationship to Yeshua, must be based on recognizing that he is the Lord, we are his disciples and his subjects who are to be obedient to him. If you love me, keep my commands. And the opposite is true. If we ignore Yeshua's commands, if we disobey his instructions, if we are not serious about learning his teachings and putting them into practice, we do not really love him. Therefore, if we were wise, we would learn everything Yeshua has commanded us to do. We would become familiar with his teachings, very familiar with his teachings. We would know what he wants from us, what he expects from us, how he wants us to live, and we would do what he commanded us to do. If we are faithful in our obedience, we can be sure that we love him, and he loves us and will help us. And knowing that should bring us shalom rav, great peace. We can have peace in our times of trouble because even though Messiah has left earth, he will make sure we have someone else, someone who is just like him, helping us just like he was there to help his disciples while he was on earth. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Advocate means someone who is called alongside to give assistance, to give help. I will ask the Father. He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit is the invisible presence of the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is present everywhere throughout the universe and beyond. The Spirit had already been living with them, with these disciples, in his omnipresence, in his all-presentness. And he was also living with them because he was in Yeshua, filling Yeshua with his presence. And Yeshua was with them. As great as that was, that the Holy Spirit was with them, Yeshua promised his disciples that the Spirit will be given to them in a new and greater way after his death, resurrection, and ascension. In you is much better than with you. He lives with you. He will be in you. The Holy Spirit living in us gives us the same kind of help that Yeshua gave his disciples when he was physically present with them. The Holy Spirit in us guides us, teaches us, corrects us, impels us to holy living. The Holy Spirit in us empowers us to serve God, to live for God. He's called the Spirit of Truth because it is the true Spirit, because he is the true Spirit of the true God. The God who is the truth, the God who only speaks the truth, the God who only acts according to the truth. The Spirit knows the truth. The Spirit is totally committed to the truth. He teaches the truth. He helps us live according to the truth. He helps us understand truth, especially the Word of God, which is pure truth, unmixed with any error. He is the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit, once he lives in us in this new and greater way, will never leave us. Knowing that we have the Spirit of Truth living in us now and forever, helping us like Yeshua helped the disciples, empowering us to live according to the truth, should create peace in our times of trouble. Note that the Father and the Son work together in the giving of the Spirit. Yeshua said, "I will ask the Father, and the Father will give you the Spirit." I will ask the Father will give you the Spirit. Yeshua asks the Father answers the prayer of his Son, and gives their spirit to Yeshua's followers. Yeshua again promised his disciples that he will not abandon them, that he will return for them. "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." These men were deeply attached to their rabbi. They had given up everything to follow Yeshua. It can be very painful when someone we love leaves us in any kind of ways, whether it's a rabbi that we are attached to, or a friend or a mentor, a parent or child, a husband or wife. When someone we are very close to leaves us, it's like part of us is missing. Knowing that Yeshua has not abandoned us, that he has committed himself to return for us, should bring us peace even in our most difficult times of trouble. Yeshua promised his disciples that after his death, they will be able to see him, even before he returns for them. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. It can be very hard to love someone and not be able to see him, to see her. Long-distance relationships are very hard for many people. There's something about being with the one you love, seeing him, seeing her, that makes a huge difference. Being able to see Yeshua with the eyes of faith, being constantly aware that he's alive, he's real, he's risen, he's ascended, he's at the right hand of God as the Lord of heaven and earth, being able to see that with the eyes of faith brings us peace, even in the midst of trouble. Yeshua promised his disciples that they will live because he will live. Because I live, you also will live. Messiah is alive. He has risen. And because of our faith in him, we are united to him. We are joined to him. We are connected to him. We are in Messiah. Because we are like a child in his mother's womb, because Messiah lives now and forever, we will live now and forever. Because I live, you also will live, because we are connected inseparably to the life of the Son of God. Knowing that we are united to this great living Lord, who is so full of divine life, should change our perspective and bring us peace even in our times of trouble. Because I live, you will live. Just as the life of Yeshua is close and inseparable from the life of God the Father, so our lives are close and inseparable from his life. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. We are united to Yeshua, who is united to us. In one sense, we are closer to Yeshua than his disciples were when he was physically present with them. He is in us now. Through his Spirit, we are in him. He is as close to us as our soul, our thoughts, our breath. I am in my Father, you are in me, I am in you. And Yeshua is close and inseparable to God the Father. He is in his Father is in him. And since Yeshua is united to God the Father and we are united to Yeshua, we are united to God the Father. Knowing that we are so close to Yeshua, who is so close to God the Father, who is so full of grace and goodness and life, should bring us peace, even in our most difficult times. Yeshua repeats his teaching, which means that it's a very important teaching that there is a relationship between love and obedience. And we must love him with an obedient kind of love. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. In a real loving relationship, love is reciprocated between both people. Yeshua again taught them that if they loved him with an obedient kind of love, he would reciprocate that love. And so would his Father. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them. Who would not want to be enveloped by the great love of God the Father and God the Son? So, be obedient. And there is a relationship between love and obedience and the ability to see Yeshua. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. There's a relationship between love and obedience and the ability to see Yeshua. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I will love them and show myself to them. Obedience makes it easier for Yeshua to show himself to us. Obedience facilitates Yeshua revealing himself to us. Disobedience makes it harder for Yeshua to reveal himself to us. Disobedience causes spiritual nearsightedness, the inability to see far. It becomes harder and harder to see Yeshua with clarity the more disobedient you are. If you feel far from Yeshua, if you are having a hard time seeing him the way you have seen him before, it could be that you are not obeying him the way you should be obeying him. It could be that you are not being obedient. It could be that there is sin in your life. Why not make sure you really love him by obeying him, so that you are loved by the Father and the Son is able to reveal himself to you fully, clearly, powerfully. Knowing that the Father and the Son really love us and being able to see Yeshua with clarity should bring us shalom rab, great peace. Yeshua had been teaching them that after his death, they would be able to enjoy an ongoing spiritual revelation of him. They would be able to see him with the eyes of faith. One of the disciples just did not understand. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? How can the Messiah, who is to rule over Israel and the nations from the throne of David in Jerusalem, appear to some, but not to everyone?" That was a reasonable question for Judas to ask. Judas did not understand that Yeshua was teaching them that only those who had faith would be able to see him with spiritual sight. Yeshua repeated that he was talking about a spiritual revelation to those who had not just any kind of faith, but an obedient kind of faith. And love that creates the conditions for spiritual intimacy with the Father and the Son. Yeshua replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching." We will come to them and make our home with them. Healthy people want to live in a clean home. Not a home that hasn't been cleaned for months, is cluttered with junk, Dirty clothes are strewn on the floor. Dirty dishes are piled up in the sink. The garbage is overflowing, hasn't been taken out for weeks. The cat litter hasn't been changed, and the house smells bad. Normal, healthy people do not want to live in a house like that. I've been in a house like that. There are people who live that way. I was in a house like that. I could not wait to leave. The Father and the Son feel the same way about us. They want to live in us. We can be a temple for them to dwell in. They can be a beautiful home they can live in through their spirit. Faithful obedience to Yeshua's teachings creates a loving, inviting environment where spiritual intimacy between us and the Father and the Son exists. And where the Father and the Son are able to live in us to the maximum degree possible. Experiencing this kind of spiritual intimacy with the Father and with the Son should bring us peace no matter what is happening. On the other hand, if our lives are characterized by disobedience, the Father and the Son will not love us to the same degree and will not want to be with us to the same extent. Spiritual intimacy between us and God will be diminished by disobedience. We will come to them and make our home with them. The Father does not literally live in us. The Father right now is on his great throne in heaven. The Son does not literally live in us. The Son is at the Father's right hand in his glorified, resurrected body. The Father and the Son live in us by means of the Spirit of the Father, which is also the Spirit of the Son, the Spirit that they share. That's how the Father and the Son live in us. Yeshua assured his disciples that what he was teaching them came directly from God the Father through him to them. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Yeshua is telling us that there was a perfect channel of communication from the Father to him to these disciples. Therefore, Yeshua's words, all of Yeshua's words, every one of Yeshua's words are God's words and must be believed and must be obeyed. Knowing that we have the unadulterated, pure word of God should bring us peace. Yeshua is the supreme rabbi, the greatest teacher who ever lived. His words were wise and true and powerful and life-changing and inspiring. It would be tragic to have him leave and have his great teaching ministry end. Yeshua promised his disciples that would not happen. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Again, the Father and the Son work together in the sending of the Spirit. The Son asks the Father to send the Spirit. The Father sends the Spirit in the name of Yeshua, because of Yeshua, to those who are loyal to Yeshua. The Holy Spirit continues the great teaching ministry of the Son of God. He continues to teach Yeshua's followers, helping them understand everything they need to understand. And in this case, Yeshua is promising these disciples that the Holy Spirit would help them remember Yeshua's teaching. That's exciting, that the Holy Spirit is now living in us, continuing the great teaching ministry of the Messiah to us. Haven't you experienced that? You've suddenly gotten some insight into a situation. You've received the ability to discern the truth. You have a growing amount of wisdom. That's the Holy Spirit helping you, teaching you. You're reading the Bible and some new insight pops out at you. You're talking about the Word of God with someone else, or hearing it taught by a God-ordained teacher, or reading it on your own, and it suddenly becomes an exciting adventure. The Holy Spirit continues the great teaching ministry of the Messiah to each one of us on an individual basis. Over the years, the disciples had been with Yeshua and heard him say many tremendous things. Yeshua promised them that the Holy Spirit would help them remember what he said. That promise was kept, which is why we have the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those books were written by these disciples, or those who knew these disciples. These writings were inspired by the Holy Spirit, who helped the disciples or the those who were closely associated with the disciples remember everything Yeshua said. Knowing that we have these divinely inspired books brings me peace. How about you? Remember, Yeshua had just told these men that one of them was a traitor, that he was about to leave them, that they would not be able to follow him, that Peter would deny him three times before the next morning was over. The disciples were upset, they were afraid, they were troubled. Messiah again promised them that they could have peace in the midst of the storm. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The world offers a peace, but it's a peace that comes from an absence of war, or the absence of conflict, or from our circumstances going well. If there's war, if there's conflict, or if our circumstances become difficult, we have no peace. Yeshua offers us a different kind of peace, a better kind of peace, a peace not dependent on absence of conflict or dependent on our circumstances. He offers us the same kind of peace he experienced. My peace I give you. Because Messiah knew God the way he did, because he knew he was doing what God wanted him to do, because he knew he would be vindicated, Messiah was able to have shalom rav, great peace, not because of the absence of conflict or because his circumstances were good. His circumstances were not good, and he had been experiencing a tremendous amount of conflict. He knew he was about to suffer greatly, be humiliated, tortured and died. His circumstances were not good. Yet Yeshua had peace in the midst of conflict and very difficult circumstances. The disciples could have the same kind of peace by staying close to this great Prince of Peace, who was able to share his peace with his followers. My peace I give you, I impart to you, knowing that Messiah is able to give us his peace, a superior kind of peace, should bring us peace. Yeshua told these men he was about to die. Instead of being sad for him, he wanted them to be glad for him. You heard me say, I'm going away, and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. The one who is greater is able to benefit the one who is lesser. It's beneficial to be in the presence of someone greater than you. Wouldn't you want to be with your favorite musician, artist, author, athlete, who's really great? Someone you admire because he has achieved a lot of success in one of your areas of interest? Wouldn't you want to be in his presence, inspired by him? Sure you would. Instead of being sad for him, the disciples should be happy that Yeshua was returning to his Father, who is greater than Yeshua. Not in nature, they share the same great nature of divinity, deity, fully God, but greater in authority. The Father is greater than the Son in position and in authority, not in nature. Knowing that Yeshua, whom they love so much, was going to a better place and to a greater presence should make, well, should give them peace. They should be glad for him. Yeshua wanted them to know that he knew what was about to happen. He had told them this before. He repeats it again. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. Instead of lessening their faith in Yeshua, Yeshua's arrest, humiliation, and death should strengthen their faith in him because he knew it would happen, knew it was what God wanted, and he submitted himself to do God's will. Yeshua was not a fool who was being taken by surprise and overpowered by superior forces. I told you now before it happened so that when it does happen, you will believe, you'll have confidence in me. Yeshua knew that his time was very short. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. When Adam and Eve, who were the prince and princess of this world, joined the rebellion of the fallen angels, they forfeited their right to rule the earth. That right was transferred to the leader of the fallen angels. He is now the prince, the ruler of this world, the God of this world. The prince of this world is coming. Yeshua knew that Satan was coming very shortly to have him killed, by manipulating people to kill the Messiah. He knew his time was short. He also knew that he was a perfectly righteous man, and death had no right to claim him. Death only has power over those who have sinned, and Yeshua knew he never sinned. He has no hold over me, meaning the devil. But he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Yeshua knew that he did not have to die. But he made a decision to give up his right not to die. He would allow himself to be killed. And after his death, which could have been prevented, which he could have not allowed, his death would demonstrate to the world the extent of his love for God and how obedient he was to his Father. He has no hold over me, but he, the adversary who is going to make sure I die, comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Being connected to someone who did not have to die, but willingly died in order to obey God, knowing someone like that, being connected to him, being joined to him, should bring us peace in our times of trouble. Come now, let us leave. In this 14th chapter of John, Yeshua gave us a lot of reasons why we can have peace in the midst of very difficult circumstances. Since we do not know when things can become difficult for us, it is wise to know these things and put them into practice right now. Do not wait until your difficult times are there. And I think that all of us will be going through some very difficult times in the near future. It is my prayer and hope that we know the reasons why we can have peace in the midst of our trying times, and we can all put them into practice now so that we can have shalom rab, great peace, then. Amen.